to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, moving right along, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards, and we're coming to you live tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, broadcasting also to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting on the Internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com, where you can also find our extensive library of broadcast archives available to you on demand, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, dating back to 2005, all that and more at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Had a very enlightening and enjoyable hour with Keith Alexander. And now joining me to keep the momentum going, Winston Smith. Winston, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm very good. I'm feeling good. I have to say that I had a couple of scary moments there not too long ago, but thank heaven for good little nitroglycerin tablets. They work well. I can't wait for my new dietary ways to start having their effect. But until then, nitroglycerin tablets are working wonders. You can believe how quickly they drop your blood pressure. It's amazing stuff.
That's right. We talked about that last week. Of course, Winston suffered a mild heart attack a couple of weeks ago, but it didn't keep him off the show for even 1 week, and here he is again, and healthy as a horse, as it would appear. And it's great to have Winston tonight. He always adds a lot of depth to the program. Bill Rowland and Eddie the Bombardier Miller have the night off this evening, but thankfully we have Keith and Winston on deck, and it has been a very exciting week here in the political cesspool, as we touched on in the first hour. An exciting month all the way around. It started on June the 5th when we had that huge blowout show, live remote broadcast from the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference in Nashville. And that was a live show in which we featured no less than 15 of the brightest leaders in the America First paleoconservative movement. And a special surprise guest, Tim Adams, whose revelation from his position as former seniors elections clerk in Honolulu, Hawaii, here in 2008, has just got us all sorts of national attention in the following 2 weeks. Great show last week as well. The Tim Adams thing, Winston, as you know, continues to snowball and materialize. WorldNet Daily, as we mentioned last week, has been working with us to get information. They have really been getting the news out there in greater detail on the story we broke. Of course, again, Tim Adams first went public with these claims that he can prove that Barack Obama had no Hawaii long-form birth certificate on the political cesspool, on Liberty News Radio Network back on June 5th. Now, it's not just been WorldNet Daily and other nominally conservative entities that have been picking up on the story, Winston. As you know, Media Matters, Little Green Footballs, these somewhat, if you want to use the word acclaimed, at least they are acclaimed as much as you can be acclaimed in radical left-wing circles. These are pretty big websites, at least. They have a lot of traffic. They have just been, of course, bashing the political cesspool, bashing Tim Adams, using the only card they have in the deck, throwing out baseless smears. That's what my book is all about. And it didn't stop there. Continued to grow, made it all the way up to MSNBC, Winston, and that's where you come in to tell the rest of the story, because you wrote a blog about it, which we're featuring prominently right now at thepoliticalcesspool.org. So, Winston, fill in the audience about what happened on Monday.
Well, I don't know exactly what you mean, other than you've already covered it, that Keith Olbermann went on his silly show and slammed the political cesspool and the CFCC, while at the same time heaping praise upon the SPLC and the ADL, indirectly as it was, but it was still praise upon the SPLC and the ADL. Keith Olbermann decided to favor everybody with his unique blend of leftist twaddle, logorrhea, and egophilia regarding the broadcast from the CFCC conference. And James, in his remarks, his last remark was that I think he said, quote, what did he say? He said, you're quoting white supremacists about a black president. Well done, World Ed Daily. And, you know, his assumption, he makes a couple of assumptions. They're really bad assumptions. The first one is that there's something bad about quoting the political cesspool and the CFCC. The second bad assumption he makes is that there's something good about quoting the SPLC and the ADL, which he did. There is nothing good about quoting the SPLC and the ADL. Olbermann is obviously in the dark about these two notorious and nefarious organizations. They're a bunch of money grubbers. They are liars. They're the worst of the worst, James. And yet Keith Olbermann and MMFA, Media Matters for America, they feel perfectly comfortable with quoting these scumbags.
Well, Winston, that is exactly what they are. And we talked, ladies and gentlemen, about the just crazily absurd commentary provided by Glenn Beck on the so-called Black Founding Fathers of America. We posted that video up on our website. We've also posted this video in which Keith Olbermann does his nightly Worst Person in the World routine. And of course, on Monday, we were mentioning that. But yeah, as Winston has mentioned, this radical left-wing talk show host has denounced WorldNet Daily for their coverage of the Tim Adams story. And of course, the reason for that is that WorldNet Daily is only supposed to get breaking news stories from leftist sources like MSNBC, and they didn't follow the rules. Instead, they expanded on a story that we broke on our radio show. And our show has broadcast live from the Council of Conservative Citizens meeting, and since we're openly pro-white, and so is the CFCC, that makes us the bad guys. And it makes WND, WorldNet Daily, the bad guys for following up on a news story that we broke. All this, of course, according to Keith Olbermann. And you can watch the video again of him denouncing us on our website. But as the one anonymous commenter mentioned in a reply to the blog entry pointed out, it's funny, and this is, again, you can always trip up the radical leftists, the people who truly have hate in their hearts, by just pointing out the many hypocrisies and double standards that they employ in their denunciation of us. Keith Olbermann, obviously a Jewish individual, it's funny that Israel has laws that still exist today that make interracial marriage illegal. Yet I don't recall Keith Olbermann ever denouncing them. They go, Israel does, to great efforts to oppose the mixing of Jews and Palestinians. And Olbermann has no problem with that. But again, when an organization such as ours say that we want an equal playing field, we want a level playing field, equal opportunities for all, special privileges for none. It's not bad for the Jews to do what they do over there. It's not bad for black groups or Hispanic groups or homosexual groups or whatever kind of group to have organizations and entities and spokespeople for their cause, advancing their self-interest, but only when white men such as ourselves, conservative white men, stand up in defense of our people and seek to promote our self-interest, is that something that is evil? And so this double standard is something, it's the one of the oldest in the book, and it happens all the time. But anyway, long story short, Olbermann doesn't have a problem with Israel, but he certainly has a problem with us, and he calls us all of these things that aren't applicable. We have never claimed to be racist or white supremacists, and that goes without saying, of course, and the CFCC is equally honorable and has just as much as integrity as we do. But these are just the baseless bits. Again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's why I wrote the book. I wrote the book so people don't have to be concerned with these silly little attacks coming from silly little men like Keith Olbermann. But Winston, you really wrote a good one, and you mentioned some of it in your commentary just a moment ago. You really wrote a good reply that I want people to read by going to our website about the Keith Olbermann and his attack on me and the show.
Oh, the best part of it is what from the email that Eddie the Bombardier Miller, my elder brother in arms, sent. Folks, when James heard about the Olbermann MFA tristing, he sent out the email with the links to it. And my elder brother in arms and your friend and mine, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, wrote back saying, who the hell is Keith Olbermann? I'll tell you who. He's a nobody. Who even knows him outside the few and the dumb in his ever-shrinking and dying network fan base? You never have to wonder where Eddie the Bombardier Miller stands on the issues. But he hit it just right. Here you have this poodle barking and nipping at the heels of a pit bull. And, you know, all it's going to take is for somebody, well, like the political cesspool, to call Keith Olbermann on it. And even then, I'm not sure it's even going to make any difference, because he, being a Jew, he being a Marxist, he is exempt from such rules.
Hey, Winston, hold on. Got to go to break. There's our music. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. There's more political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
The political cesspool radio program, there is nothing like it in the world, and we continue to get bigger and better, thanks, of course, to the generous and loyal support of those in our listening audience. Quick program announcement tonight, by the way. I probably should have made this at the top of the show, not halfway through it, but there will be no guest tonight. For the first time this year, in fact, we do not have a featured guest scheduled for tonight's show. Kind of taking it easy, catching our breath. It's been a whirlwind month with the release of the book, all of those guests that we had jam-packed into that June 5th show. So we're just taking it easy tonight, setting back Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, myself, bringing you the news at a more relaxed pace. Every now and then, even we, your superheroes, have to catch our breath, and that's what we're doing. We're doing that tonight, and we're excited to have a little respite. But anyway, not much more to say about the Keith Olbermann thing. We've been attacked by people far more venomous than him. But it just goes to show that, again, as I said in the first hour, we are a program of record. We make the establishment respond to what we say. You know, there is a wannabe Rush Limbaugh. Some, you know, very marginally moderate conservative talk radio host in every market, every major market in this country has their, you know, local carbon copy of Rush Limbaugh. How many of them get the kind of press that this program does? The reason that they don't get any press is because they say nothing of note. They say nothing that isn't being said by hundreds of other lemmings like them on a daily basis. We stand apart from every other show, certainly in this country, if not the world. We stand with defiant resolve in opposition to a lot of all of the tenets of cultural Marxism and a lot of what you see from the establishment conservative shows as well. We stand up for traditional paleoconservative American values. We are America first. We certainly, as European Americans, are very proud of our ancestry, and we are the only show who can stand up, as every other minority group does, in favor of themselves, not at the expense of anyone else, but just to celebrate what makes us unique. We do that without any apology whatsoever. There is only one political cesspool. That's why we get so much media attention, because we're doing what we do with very professional and polished presentation, and we command the attention of the biggest newspapers in the world, the biggest networks in the world, and we're very proud of the reputation we have. We're very proud of the friends that we keep. We're very proud of the enemies that we keep, but there's nothing that we're more proud of than the audience that we keep, and that's you, ladies and gentlemen. That's you, ladies and gentlemen, out there around the world, tuned in tonight to the political cesspool, whether you're in your car, on your computer, however you get us, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your support. You are the reason Keith Olbermann mentions us. You are the people who have kept us on the air for all these years, and it's only getting better. Now, of course, we were talking about the Tim Adams thing. WorldNet Daily has issued two or three follow-up stories to the original story, which they got from us. The last of which, and then we'll move on to other topics tonight, Tim Adams has said to WorldNet Daily that he will testify in court, if asked, that Obama was not born in Hawaii. Now that would be interesting. Again, WorldNet Daily has a follow-up story, this too posted on our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org, on Tim Adams, the former elections clerk in Hawaii, who says there isn't any dispute among Hawaii authorities about an Obama birth certificate. They all know there's no Obama birth certificate because he wasn't born there. And don't forget where the world learned first about the story, and that was right here with us on the Political Cesspool. For more information about that, we've been talking about it. We talked about it quite a bit last week. We're not going to talk about it anymore tonight. We've got a lot more to get to. But if you want to read more about Keith Olbermann, Glenn Beck, Tim Adams, any of the stuff we've been talking about for the first hour and a half tonight, all of that information and more is documented with links and references, as always, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, Winston, got to get to this. This, again, just about every topic we bring to the attention of the audience is another reason, gives us another example of why people should buy my book. Eric Holder, in some cases, has been proven right. I mean, we prove him wrong. We have a chapter about Eric Holder in my book. But a lot of so-called conservative Americans prove him right. But one of the people that stands with us, or at least has this week, Congressman Steve King from Iowa. He is one of the few white Americans who don't fit into the nation of cowards characterization when it comes to talking about race. And here's the story out of Iowa, Congressman Steve King. He said that he is performing a public service by accusing Obama of favoring blacks over whites. That's what this man did. Representative Steve King said that Obama favors blacks over whites. He said it publicly, and when attacked about it, he didn't back down for once. Maybe he read my book. What he said was this: I'm standing up against something that is or could become racism. The Iowa Republican said he didn't misspeak when he told a nationally syndicated radio show on Monday that Obama favors blacks over whites. King told the G. Gordon Liddy show that Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder repeatedly demonstrate an unjust preference towards minorities. Now, that's the kind of common sense and blatantly obvious truth that we need coming from more people in positions of authority. People like us in the media, people like this man and an elected United States congressman, we need this kind of truth being spoken. And when this kind of truth gets spoken, more and more are going to catch on to the game. And again, we can start building a movement that wins. Representative King, Congressman King from Iowa, went on to provide a few specific examples of how Obama and Holder are favoring blacks over whites in any number of government activities. And it's pretty hard to argue with this logic. He's just being honest, and this is hardly controversial stuff. But here's what gets me, Winston, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. You can imagine how perverts like Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow would have responded to a statement being made like this. But how did white conservatives respond to Congressman King's statement that Obama favors blacks over whites? And I read now from another story that we've linked for you, of course, at our website. King's remarks didn't sit well with members of his own party, including Colorado Republican Cory Gardner, whose congressional campaign canceled a $100 a plate fundraiser that was to feature King as its guest speaker. And Congressman King's upcoming appearance at a Tea Party rally in Loveland, Colorado, was canceled after organizers got word of his comments. Yeah, so Winston, those tea parties are really going to shake things up in America with Woo-hoo! Stuff like this. What a joke. Your comments, Winston. I mean, this guy basically says something that anyone with half a brain can see. And it's not just the liberal media that is crucifying him. Tea Party organizers, other Republican representatives are canceling things that he is to attend. canceling speeches, canceling dinners. I somehow managed to talk that whole segment. I don't know how I did it. We got 20 seconds to break. When we come back, I'm turning it completely over to Winston. I'm going to set him loose. I don't know how that happened, Winston. I'm sorry. But we're going to set Winston loose. We're going to talk. We're going to let Winston talk when we come back. I promise.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, now turning it right over to Winston on the commentary I just provided pertaining to Congressman Steve King. He makes the pretty much benign statement that Obama, and this is pretty obvious to me, he favors blacks over whites and the things that he does, as does Eric Holder. And he is denounced not only by the left-wing media, but also by other Republican legislators and Tea Party organizers. This is a surefire way to make sure you will never build a movement that gains any ground when you hang people like Congressman King out to dry. I mean, who are these people pandering to, Winston? They're pandering to people that are never going to join their ranks, I can tell you that.
Well, James, you're absolutely right. And I love the examples that Representative King brings to light. One of my favorite ones is his allusion to the incident back in July of 2009 in which a white police officer in Cambridge, Massachusetts arrested a racist black Harvard professor for disorderly conduct, and Barry Satoru, Barack Hussein Obama's immediate reaction was to attack the white police officer, saying that he acted stupidly.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Well, by the way, James, have you noticed that Barry Satoru, Barack Hussein Obama has a very pronounced hatred for white police officers? The thing that happened with Henry Louis Gates was a small one compared to what he and his thugs are doing to the policemen of Arizona, all the policemen of Arizona. He has basically said, well, the Arizona immigration law is basically going to turn every white police officer into racial profilers. And I realize there are probably some mestizo police officers there and probably some Negro police officers, but, you know, they're exempt from being called racist. It's the white police officers that he believes are going to be the prime racial profilers. So Barry Sotero, Barack Hussein Obama has a demonstrable hatred for white police officers. And if he's worried about racial profiling in Arizona, why are we complaining about occupational profiling? I mean, is it not racial profiling and occupational profiling to say that all these white police officers are potential racial profilers and things of that sort? Well, getting back to Barry Sotoro's, Barack Hussein Obama's hatred for white people. Look, it is well demonstrated, it is well documented, and as you point out, James, in your blog entry, Eric Holder, one of his first acts under Barry Sotoro, Barack Hussein Obama, was to drop a lawsuit against the Black Panthers in Philadelphia who intimidated white voters.
That's right. I remember that story well. We covered it.
We blew a gasket about that, as I recall. But here you have these two black thugs standing outside a voting area in a predominantly white area carrying weapons. And Barry Sotoro, Barack Hussein Obama directs his attorney general to drop the case. Now, James, we know what would happen if a couple of us, or maybe even a couple of Klansmen, went to some voting area in a predominantly Negro area and had weapons, there would be hell to pay. We'd still be hearing about it. In fact, there was some complaints during the when George W. Bush ran against John Kerry about a police officer parked his car near a voting area, in a predominantly Negro voting area, and that scared away Negro voters. So he just parked his car there, and that, they're saying that that drove away black voters. But this is the this is the modus operandi of Barry Sotora, Barack Hussein Obama. He hates white people, and there's, I don't know why he just doesn't admit it. I mean, how many white people voted for him because they believed he was at least half white, and yet on the census form that he filled out, he filled out that he was a Negro. That's not my word. That's the words of the form. It says Negroid on it, and that's what he checked. He could have put down mixed, but he didn't. He identified with his Negro ancestry, and therefore he has an instinctive and right default preference for his own people. There is nothing wrong with that. You should have a default preference for your own people.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we've said time and time again on this program. You know, and to get back to the thing you mentioned about the intimidation scenario in Philadelphia, well, of course, Winston, people like us would never engage in such behavior. I don't know anyone.
Oh, no.
I don't know if, you know, people like us, people that we work with and associate with, are law-abiding, tax-paying, hard-working citizens. And so we don't engage in that type of behavior, but these people do. And had there been two white people that, for whatever reason, were intimidating blacks, I mean, it's so far-fetched that it's hard to imagine, but had that been the situation, then I would have wanted them to receive just punishment, nothing excessive, but you know, the appropriate punishment for such an occurrence. But you've got a situation such as this, and they got to get out of jail free card, literally, you know, as mandated to them by Barack Obama. So this is just one of the many examples that I'm sure Congressman Steve King was drawing from when he made his assessment that Obama and Holder favor blacks, which, again, as we say, you know, perhaps they should have a more a greater affinity for their own family, but in cases of legal in legal situations and political situations where what we ask for is equal rights for all, special privileges for none, certainly they are showing a preference there, and there no preference should be shown. And so Congressman King, who speaks out about this, and he gets denounced by his own party. Why?
Oh, that's the worst part of the whole thing, James, that you would expect him to be savaged by the left, but they're remaining relatively quiet about this. He's getting trashed and thrown under the bus by his own party, by his own people, for simply stating the obvious, for simply stating the truth. And by the way, James, you mentioned that we would never go to a black voting place and intimidate the voters like those Black Panthers did in Philadelphia. The one reason we don't do that is because we're too busy working. We have to work hard to support the welfare payments going to those two Black Panthers that were intimidating the white voters.
Well, that's true, too, Winston. It's hard to take off a day from work to go out and harass and harangue other people. You know, and plus, we're too busy fending off our own attacks from these people to do anything like that, not that we ever would. And certainly, we even go to absurd amount of pain to make sure everyone knows where we stand on these sorts of issues. And we don't encourage that type of activity. But when activity like that occurs, we expect there to be, and I hate to use this word, a colorblind law, you know, colorblind as far as law enforcement is concerned. But that's not the case anymore, and we know that's why that's not the case. Congressman Steve King of Iowa certainly knows that's not the case. And he brings up a point on the matter, and he is summarily denied the right to speak at a Tea Party movement. I mean, obviously, the people who are running this Tea Party event that he was to speak at are people that look a lot like us, Winston, if you catch what I'm getting at. And these are the people that are punishing him for making a very obvious and very factually based, very well-referenced sentence. I mean, it was just one sentence that these guys obviously favor blacks over whites. And he is punished by his own party. And again, the question is why? Why? I mean, are they thinking that by reprimanding this guy and costing him a little money and, you know, making it where he can't come and give his speech to the Tea Party rally, is that going to somehow open up the floodgates? And because they've done this, blacks are going to see that the Republican Party, you know, is completely impotent, and therefore they're going to want to join? I don't think so. And it's certainly not going to keep them from being called racist themselves, because we know that the modern day definition of racist simply means white person. Racism is anything a white person does that minorities don't approve of. The people that reprimanded Steve King are still going to be called racist no matter what, because the modern day definition says they must be so. Anyway, we're going to change subjects there. For more information about that story, go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll be back in a flash right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, moving right along, flipping the page, more topics forthcoming for your edification tonight. Winston, quickly, you saw a picture that you... took notice of, but what was this, or was it a video clip?
It's kind of funny. Apparently, Barry Sotoro, Barack Hussein Obama attended a Washington Nationals game against the Chicago White Sox, and the White Sox won in an 11-inning victory. But what's making the most news about this is not the pitching phenom Steven Strasburg, but it's the fact that with a photograph, that everybody was doing the victory wave because of this White Sox victory. And it shows a picture of everybody doing the wave except Barry Sotoro, Barack Hussein Obama. Even one of his daughters is participating in the wave, and Barry Sotoro, Barack Hussein Obama is sitting there looking disgusted. He is looking like he's thinking, why in the world am I among all these plebeians? And to his left, you see this white man in a blue shirt. He's looking at Barry Sotoro, Barack Hussein Obama, and he looks as he's thinking, "Hey fool, are you gonna condescend to us mere mortals and join us in our celebration?" But Barry Sotoro is having nothing to do with it. It is a funny picture. If you just do a Google search or a Yahoo search. And Barack Obama wave or something like that. You'll see the picture. It is funny as heck. I encourage people to look it up.
Winston has found the only item on the internet of interest that is not already on our website. So you're gonna have to find that. You're gonna have to find that on your own. This is one thing that isn't contained at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Let's take a quick call. Dave, I believe in Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
I wanted to just call in and say that I'm really thanking you fellas for what you do. I haven't gotten your book or read it yet, but I intend to.
I
have curiosities about whether you have anything in it about what were called the Beltway Snipers, or Mark Essex, or else that man named that was in that law case over in Louisiana named Troy Bland Cade. That was so famous for being that mass murderer that was a black man that was a mass murderer of those police as well as other people over there at Louisiana.
Well, no, we didn't. I'm well familiar with each of the stories that you're mentioning here. You know, Jared Taylor literally wrote the book on blacks and their propensity to commit crimes, using FBI statistics in order to point out the just great disparity that there is in the percentage of crimes committed compared to the percentage that they represent of the overall American population. It's called The Color of Crime. Now, of course, he didn't include in that anything about the Beltway snipers, because that was a more recent occurrence. And, you know, for my sake, you just really, I mean, you can't possibly include every example out there in a book. I mean, you know, the book would be sky high if you did. So, no, we don't address any of those specific topics in the book, but I guarantee you and everyone else listening, we cover plenty that'll definitely pique your interest and, I think, provide you with some great information. But those are very important matters as well, to be sure.
Well, the one reason I asked about that is that I just earlier today did some research work, and I typed in Lee Boyd Malvo.
Right.
And
one of the Beltway snipers.
Yes. And he was actually an illegal alien that was apprehended for a period of time and then was released with just a minimal amount of bail. I don't like to say anything that would cause any more acrimony between people that live here in America, no matter what their skin color is, because we already have an enormous amount of problems. But it seems to me that the common denominator, at least from my research work that I've been doing so long, is the hatred toward Christianity, even more so than skin color, by Islamists.
Well, I mean, look, there's certainly, I mean, that's certainly in play. That's there. I mean, I would have to say if anyone, and they do hate it. I mean, Islam is not our friends. I know there are some people out there that say the enemy of my enemy is my friend. We just, you know, Christianity, and this is an explicitly pro-Christian radio program. Each of the members of our hosting staff are Christians and subscribe to the Christian faith, and that's something we're very proud of, and we never, you know, make any attempt to hide that. I mean, it's just who we are, and it's you know, very, you know, something that we talk about on occasion. And Islam is certainly a religion that is incompatible with Christianity, and I think that Christians should distance themselves from people with whom they have very little in common. But you know, I would have to say if there's any group of people out there that are opposing Christianity and have been effective in the deconstruction of Christianity and have hurt Christianity, it's got to be the radical Zionists. It's got to be the Zionist Jews out there. I mean, certainly they have been more of a threat to Christianity than Islam. And so, you know, and we talk about that as well. But you're certainly right. I mean, Islam is something that isn't something we should be cuddled up with. But to speak about, to go back to Malvo, I mean, this again, I mean, another example, even though it's been a few years removed from the headlines, another example of why what Arizona is doing is 100% right. Wouldn't you say, Winston? I mean, this is a pretty egregious example of why what Arizona is trying to do, what Arizona has done, what other states are trying to do, is right. But, you know, again, these castrated conservatives out there never bring up people like Malvo when making their points, because Malvo is a non-white. And you can't bring up a non-white when you're making a point unless you're making a point about something righteous they've done. And again, we continue to lose ground because people won't take the liberals to the mat on these important issues. And thank you for the call, Dave. You made some very good points.
He was not only non-white. He was an illegal alien, and that's another one of those rails that you can never touch as well. But once again, and I'm doing a lot of research in this area, and it seems the spiritual underpinning of this black radicalism, and speaking in regards to Jewish radicalism, I have, you know, I do research work in that area too, and I'm welcome to, or I'm able to comment in that area, but being that this is where the commentary that you started your second hour with, and that's basically what I was responding to, is the spiritual underpinning of these cases that I named, especially, I read the actual court transcripts of that Mark Essex, and I really would encourage your listeners and you fellows as well to go through that that essay about his crime spree. He literally gunned down 19 people, including 10 police officers, and it was as a result of converting to Islam.
Well, no, again, no, Dave, again, thank you for the call. You're exactly, you're exactly right. And people, we need to have a Christian renaissance in this nation, in my opinion. And I think you can be explicitly pro-Christian and be explicitly proud of your cultural heritage if you're a European American. And those two things are compatible. In fact, the Christian church, was just that up to the 1950s before it too began to be infiltrated and subverted from within. And our caller from Wisconsin is certainly right.
Hey, James?
It is the radical Zionist. Not all Jews are part of this, and not all people... Winston, yes.
Yeah, James, I want to, if Dave is still listening, I want to assure him that all of my work on behalf of our people proceeds from the belief. Indeed, I think it's a fact that we are in this is a spiritual war before it is anything. This is a spiritual war, and I couldn't agree with you more that there is a spiritual underpinning of the hatred against our people. And as James was saying, I think we have less to fear of Islam than we do of Zionism. Zionism is the religion that is trying to breed the hatred between Christians and Muslims. Back before the Crusades, Christians and Muslims got along pretty well because they stuck to their well-defined borders. But then, business people got involved in it, and sure enough, when money is involved, you're gonna find some Jews involved, and they were part of starting the Crusades.
Well, Winston, we're coming up on break, but you are right. I mean, listen, the Zionists have the power. They've got the power to turn off your lights. They've got the money. They've got they've got control of all of our institutions. Islam doesn't. Islam, they really can't do anything. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, and that's certainly off topic of anything I'd plan to address tonight. So we're going to take a break here, refocus, reformat, and come back with a very hard-hitting third hour. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to love it.
The political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rally.